Welcome to Write Through the Roof, the podcast for writers who want to improve their craft. I'm Madeline D'Est, and in this show, I'm interviewing writers of all different types and asking, what's that one thing that took your writing to the next level? So come and join me and learn all the proven tips, tricks, and techniques to take your writing right through the roof. Hello and welcome to Right Through the Roof. Today I'm speaking with Scott McAteer. Hi Scott, how are you going?
Good, how are you?
Good, thanks. Scott is a playwright, dramaturg, improv performer, stilt walker and stand-up comedian. He's been a finalist in Raw Comedy a couple of times. His plays have been performed all around the world and he's been a finalist in the Short and Sweet competition. Thanks for coming on the show, Scott.
Sure thing, it's my pleasure.
So what I wanted to do to start off with is a few warm-up questions just to get you limbered up, you know, some star jumps, and get to know what kind of writer you are. So these are a few short questions before we get into the deeper stuff. So do you write every day?
No, I should, but I don't. I try to be more disciplined, but I think about story ideas and concepts pretty much every day.
Do you keep them in a little book?
I keep them on Google document files. What I have is, at the moment, it's quite an expansive amount. Probably the most interesting in terms of research is what I call the Monsterpedia, which is just going through and doing research and any little ideas that may be useful for a story or a concept. Later on, I'll just keep together in a different Google document and try to separate them out.
So what's your favourite writing format?
I think writing for performance is my favourite format. I used to say that it's great for lazy people because you don't have to write all the details, but it's also a way to write knowing what kind of other colours you can bring to a story. In that even if it's something as simple as writing for voice, writing for something that's going to be spoken out loud, you can control the kind of pauses and anticipations that the audience will have in a story when you're writing it. And it's more difficult, I think, to get that in a strict prose piece because the reader is controlling their own pace and their own, I guess, environment when they're enjoying it.
Cool. And so are you a plotter or a pantser?
I guess there's two ways that I normally go. For instance, probably the best example is that the other week I wrote a piece for the Stranger With My Face 10-page script challenge thing that they've got, which is basically it's a 48-hour writing challenge and you get three prompts to start you off, and then you have to write a piece. And the way that I went about that is essentially I started thinking about the characters first and how the characters would talk and just sort of have them have little conversations about things and then thinking about the plot. And then once it's sitting there, once it's in front of the keyboard, it's just letting the characters speak and do what they want to do in order for them to get to the end point. And sometimes the end point changes because the characters decide that they don't want to end up at that end point.
Absolutely. And lastly, in the short questions, what's your writing fuel of choice?
Coffee. Coffee is probably the best thing. It's quite a weird thing in terms of fuel. I'm one of those people that eat very large meals and then gets very tired. So I actually have to schedule my writing around when I'm going to eat. Otherwise, I'll just feel a bit snoozy halfway through.
In between naps,
absolutely. Haven't mastered the art of writing while napping yet.
Maybe we can help you with that. So let's go a little more in depth. How would you describe your writing and what themes do you generally explore?
Generally, I guess I've always sort of thought of myself as I used to describe myself as primarily a comedy writer, But now I tend to think of it in terms of STEAM, in that I think that there are quite a lot of things where, in many ways, horror and comedy are very similar. And they work in terms of working towards an emotional reaction. And everything is geared towards that emotional reaction. There are other kind of forms of writing where it's very much about getting the reader or the audience to think about something. But that's not the kind of thing that I write. I write for things which will have an emotional reaction, a kind of either a laugh or a giggle or a tingle or even a shock. So that's how I would classify it. If I write something which isn't funny at all, but has quite a few sort of horrors and shocks in it, I don't see it as being a different kind of writing. I see it as being still the same kind of writing, just using shocks and horrors instead of giggles and laughs. But there'll always be a few giggles and laughs.
So it's really the reaction.
Yeah, it's about getting that emotional reaction from the reader or audience.
So what is the one thing that you think has been most helpful to improve your writing?
I think one thing that's really helpful is deadlines, because I have to work towards them and can't just keep putting stuff off. But probably the most important thing is doing improvisation as a performance. In improvisation, you have to, improvisers will, and writers will very much say, no, we do completely different things. But in essence, you're doing exactly the same thing, just at different speeds. And something that improvisation does, I think, well, something that I do when I improvise, is I will try to figure out where characters' stories will take them. And that's something that's very useful for writing, because there are points where you get, okay, I don't know what's going to happen in this story. And instead of building it in terms of like a structure and like an architecture, like making sure all the pillars of the plot are there, you can just let the characters and the events happen. And as long as you've got the characters down, the events will happen. The story will unfold. You'll get to where those characters need to go because you've got those characters down. And that's something that I don't think I had before I started doing improvisation. I think I was very much, okay, I know something needs to happen here, but it was quite torturous to get that thing that happens there. It had to be worked out and then sort of written down, whereas now I've got more of the skill of just letting it go and filling that space with what the characters want.
So I can imagine you pacing up and down in character.
Well, there is a wonderful story. A few years ago I started listening to old-time radio shows a lot. Particularly, there's two called The Witch's Tale, and there's another one called, I think it's called Lights Out. And both of the writers on those had a habit of just writing things nonstop. They would start and they would keep going until they finished. In fact, one of the writers for Lights Out didn't actually write his. He would just use a dictaphone and just speak the entire script, start to finish. Sometimes with verbal crossings out, but sometimes just straight through. And he would get another member of the staff to type it all up from his notes. And I think that's very useful to do. And it's always useful to speak your writing out loud, even when it's not designed to be read out loud, because you do catch sort of strangenesses in people's speech where you think, oh, that's not quite right. Now that I hear that out loud, it's not quite what they'd say.
Good. Are you trying anything new at the moment?
Well, I'm working on something which is a sort of an expansion and a kind of compilation of different monster stories. That's my sort of driving thing right now, is trying to sort of figure out, and I don't know where it'll end up, whether it'll end up in prose or how connected they'll be, but just a series of different monster stories, because there are sort of almost commonalities, and maybe even these will end up as being interconnected stories in some way, but just finding different ways to tell, I guess, stories of what people fear in that. Because the fear of monsters is a very particular kind of fear. It's a very sort of, it's kind of a safe and curious fear. And there's a lot of, and I should say, the idea of these sort of stories is to base it off things that people actually believe are true. So things like the Maryland Goatman or 19th century vampires, which were believed to be true.
And it's also really fun to research as well.
It is very fun to research, and it's quite fascinating to research and find out how a lot of stories that you'd assume were not connected, you do find out that they are actually connected. They were happening. There's a fairy tale which is set in fairy tale time, which usually ends up being about 300 AD, and it's about a woman who turns into a bear, and it's a pretty old fairy tale. It's basically the Cinderella type of story, but at the time that it's set in that region, there was actually a cult related to Diana, I think, which did have women who would join the cult and would dance around in bear skins and get in touch with their primal nature. So you have to wonder if that's connected to the story at some point.
So what writers inspire you?
I like the writers that are very, very clever, I think. They're the ones that inspire me most.
Like
Kim Newman, who seems to have read every single book and seen every single movie ever written. One of my big inspirations at the moment, which I'm very adamant about, is Arthur Conan Doyle, who gets a lot of flack as being this sort of terrible, almost dopey guy who just happened to write Sherlock Holmes. But all of his other short stories are incredibly wonderful. And he's got all these, it's a thing where he's got little offhand remarks in the Sherlock Holmes stories about their other stories. And if you do a bit of poking around with the little clues that he gives you, you find out that he's clearly got an amazingly well-researched story that he's just decided not to write and just left little references to.
Do you wonder if they're notes for future stories for himself?
I think so, because
that he never got around to.
There's a couple where you go, oh, is this story that actually did get written, did that start life in this little throwaway line? And you have to wonder. Yeah. And I think those are ones that are fascinating at the moment. Probably the biggest one is actually, and it's such a cliche one, but it is William Shakespeare. And it is that thing where you asked before about plotting or feet of the pantry. If ever I have a bunch of characters that that are in search of a plot, like if I've got an idea in mind with characters in mind, but I can't quite get a hold of how the plot will happen, I will always just go back to the works of William Shakespeare and go, okay, which of Shakespeare's plays is this most like, and just look at the scenes and the plotting, because they are perfect. If you've got things where people are stuck together in one place, the Tempest does it the best way possible. And like, if you've got a guy who's a crazy murderer, Macbeth does it the best way possible. And if you've got, and so on. I mean, they're a great, I mean, it's one of those things where everyone sort of takes it for granted he's a great writer. But it's like, okay, if he's a great writer, he's a great resource. And people love the words, but they're also really, in terms of this happens, then this happens, then this happens, then this happens, Shakespeare's plays are wonderful for that. It's like bang, bang, bang. Obviously, like a lot of them, when they're performed, have oodles of stuff cut out. So you can sort of see how you can expand a story as well.
So what would Shakespeare do?
Yes, what did Shakespeare do? What did Shakespeare do, and how can we rip it off?
Because everyone has been for the last 600 years.
Well, it is that funny thing where people go, well, this is actually based on Shakespeare, and you I think it's Forbidden Planet is based on The Tempest. It's not really, but like, I mean, unless, you know, it doesn't have any of the lines. It doesn't have it doesn't have good equivalents of the characters, but what it does have is it has the sort of the plot elements in terms of how the action happens.
Are you trying any different writing techniques at the moment?
At the moment, what I'm trying right now, that I'm working on right now, is I'm trying something a little bit different in that it is, I've already sort of, I haven't plotted out the story, but I've plotted out what the main, like the story isn't going to flow chronologically. It's going to flow kind of back and forth, but it's going to escalate chronologically. So that's something that's sort of quite difficult to kind of plot through, in that it's going to have the end happen at the beginning, but the end also happens at the end. But it's going to be kind of, it's got to sort of escalate as it goes through. So it still has that climax, but it's not going to be a pure climax of action. It's going to be a climax of, I guess, all the threads coming together.
Cool. So this is the monster.
It is a monster theme.
Oh, we'll look forward to that then. Let's wrap up. I'll let you get on with the rest of your night. So where could people find you if they wanted to see your work or read your work?
My plays are with the Australian Script Centre, and they've got quite a few of them there. And it's not just my plays there. There's oodles of lots of plays to have a look at. It's a great resource for anyone looking for dramatic stuff. And probably another place to sort of hear my work is in, there's a podcast called Grain of Truth, which is a fun little improvised game show, but has a very short prepared and written piece by each of the performers. So you can get perhaps a taste of the monster stuff that I'm working on through that.
And that's on iTunes?
I believe it's on iTunes, yeah.
Okay, so that's Grain of Truth. And if anyone wanted to connect with you on social media, where would they be able to find you?
They'd be able to find me on Facebook or on Twitter, just on Scott McAteer.
Only Scott McAteer. All right, well, thank you so much for talking to me today, Scott. That was really great.
My pleasure.
Now, to end off the show, I am talking about a technique that I've been using to improve my writing. So in September, I was doing what I ended up calling to myself the 6-word story challenge. So there are a few Twitter hashtags, 6-word stories or 6-word story, which you can find where different Twitter handles throw out story prompts most of the days of the week. And what I found was this was a really good, firstly, a warm-up exercise as I was starting my writing, just to get my brain going and using that prompt to think up a 6-word story. And also, I was also using it as a way of just putting my words out there without too much criticism, self-doubt, just in order to create every single day and put it out there. You know, some days I got likes, some days I didn't, but I kept on doing it anyway. So there's quite a few different places where you can find this kind of thing on Twitter. So as I said, there was a hashtag 6-word stories or 6-word story. You can also find a whole lot of other writing prompts, Twitter handles out there. One of them that is also around is Friday Phrases. There's also caption competitions and other ways that you can have a practice and just warm up in like a low-risk environment. So I hope you found that helpful, and please give it a go yourself. Thanks for listening to Write Through the Roof. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe or spread the word by writing a review on your listening platform of choice. And if you'd like to get in contact with me, please go to madelinedst.com or madeline_dst on Twitter, no apostrophes. You can find the show notes for this episode on madelinedst.com under the Write Through the Roof tab. And until next time, what are you going to do to improve your writing this week?